Turn with me this morning to Mark chapter 14. Verse 1 through 10 is our text for today's message. I want you to open up your copy of God's Word. I hope you have a copy of God's Word. I pray you are in the Word during the week, reading, studying. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How many love God's Word? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In John, 1 John chapter 2, I believe verse 15, it says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. Now, if I use the word and in a sentence, it means that both things that it's connecting are true. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. How do you get strong? You get the Word of God in your life. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. David said, how can a young man keep his way pure but by living by the Word of God? Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. We need God's Word. I watched the Hallmark Channel yesterday. Kind of got hoodwinked into it. And then I started to enjoy it. Oh, the soft side of me came out. It's so predictable. So predictable. But anyway, the guy said yesterday, he was there and he was talking to his son. He said, oh, the son said to the father, you can read that online. And he lifted up the newspaper and he says, I like the feel of a newspaper. And I'm like, I like the feel of the Bible, God's Word. You got an electronic version? Well, God bless you. Thank God for it. But I'll tell you what, just make sure you got your own copy. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to look at a beautiful story of a woman who anoints Jesus with some very expensive perfume. The story is recorded in Mark, in Matthew, and in the Gospel of John. And it's interesting that Mark sandwiches this beautiful event between two sections dealing with the plot to kill Jesus. In fact, we will read verse 1 of Mark 14. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teacher of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and to kill him. Do you see the villains? The villains are the chief priests and the teachers of the law who were scheming to secretly arrest Jesus and to have him killed. And then in verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. So we see the villains. Every good story has to have a villain, right? We see the villains. Now, what I want you to see today... And did I forget to release the children or? No, they're already gone. All right, very good. All right, it happened without me knowing it. Very good. What we see here between the villains, we have a beautiful act of devotion unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And before we read the story, let me ask you, who is the woman in this story? We know it's Mary, but how many know there's a lot of Marys in the Bible, right? Very easy to get Mary's confused. So I want to clear it up for you today. Matthew and Mark do not give us any indication about who Mary is. But John tells us that Mary is the sister of Lazarus. Meaning that it reminds us of a story, another story in the Bible, about Mary and Martha. There was a time that Jesus was traveling and he came to a certain village. And we can only imagine that he had ministry outside, and he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing the sick, and who knows all the wonderful things that were taking place. And now it is getting towards the evening time, and Mary and Martha invited, actually it says very specifically that Martha invited Jesus to their home. And so they went to their home, the disciples were there, and there were probably some of their close friends were there, and they were having an after church get together. Now, how many enjoy those, right? Now, nowadays, we like to just go to Gambino's, right? But we used to go to people's homes. And in this scenario, there was no Gambino's. There was no place to go. So they went to the home of Mary and Martha. And Jesus and the folks were in the living room. And Jesus was speaking to them. And he was talking to them. And while he was talking to them, the Bible says that Martha came out from the kitchen. How many appreciate those in the kitchen? Martha gets negative connotations from this story because she's a little frazzled in the kitchen. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in every word that he says. And Martha, who's in frazzled condition, comes out from the kitchen and says to Jesus, "Could you tell my sister Mary I need some help in the kitchen?" Nothing wrong with the kitchen, right? Nothing wrong with Martha, but she's a little frazzled. And Jesus says to her, "Martha, the kitchen will take care of itself." What Mary is doing is a very important thing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, a picture of devotion, of love, of a heart that is open to receive everything that the Lord has for us. Now, we all have work to do in life, but may we never get so busy doing things that we fail to sit at the feet of Jesus and soak in what he has for us. In fact, we all will get a little bit frazzled in life if we do not have that time that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Do you know that you were created for that purpose, to live in fellowship with Almighty God? How do you do that? You do it by getting in his word. You do that by worshiping him, by praying, by seeking his face. We live in a day and a time when we have more resources to sit at the feet of Jesus than in all of history. But we probably do it less and less, right? Well, when we look at this story, we're going to see another story about Mary where she does a beautiful thing unto our Lord. And we see it in Mark chapter 14. Let's read verse 2. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Now, what I want you to see there is she broke it and poured it out. And the concept has been borne out to us in the song, broken and spilled out, broken and poured out. I want you to see the picture of Mary sitting there, and she's breaking a very expensive alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Let's just soak in what's happening here. Wonder where she got the alabaster jar. Maybe she saved up her money and bought it. Maybe she got it from her own mother. Right? We just know it was expensive and it was special to her. But she broke it and she poured it out, the perfume, which was equal to a year's wages. Very, very expensive. Just think about how much you would make in a year. Whether it be a small amount or a larger amount, it's still a year's worth of your wages. And would you break it and pour it out and consider it as something that you would do? Because he is worth it. That's why she did it. She looked at Jesus. She saw his majesty. She saw his greatness. She saw the preciousness of Jesus. And she counted what she could give to him as nothing in comparison to who he is. She broke it and poured it out. So if I'm underlining, this would be a good spot. Poured out. I hope you'll remember that. Then we read, some of those who were present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste? Why the waste? Oh, they don't even have a clue what they're saying. Is it a waste? 2,000 years from ago, it happened. Do we look back and see it as a waste? No, not at all. We see it as one of the greatest things that was ever done unto Jesus. We see here, it says, it could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. Can I ask you a secret question? Come in close. Listen. Do you think that if they didn't pour it on Jesus and they took it and sold it, they'd give it to the poor? No. Smokescreen. Smokescreen. That's right. See, you know, a heart that is fully devoted to Jesus is a heart that will give to the poor. Because Jesus loves the poor. But we have to get things in order. We have to make Jesus Lord. We've got to surrender to Him. We've got to pour it out to Him. And if we don't, our hearts will get hardened and we won't recognize the needs of those around us. But when we love Jesus and then we begin to love other people, His love will flow through us to them. Let's get our priorities right. It could have been sold for a year's worth of wages, and then they rebuked her harshly. But Jesus said again, Jesus is always defending Mary. Live your life in such a way that Jesus will come to your defense because it's so extraordinarily, devotionally dedicated to God. I thought I'd get a good amen on that one. Pastor, that was a good one. I didn't even write that down. I just said it under the anointing of God. Live your life in such a way that Jesus will accommodate you. Jesus will recognize what you have done and say, that is a good thing. Wow. Why are you, leave her alone, he said. Why are you bothering her? Here's another underline. She's what? Done a beautiful thing to me. What have you done lately that the Lord would say, that's a beautiful thing? What have you done that He would write it down? He would say to others, leave her alone. Leave him alone. She's doing a beautiful thing. When Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and Martha was in the kitchen and Jesus defended her and said, what she's doing is a beautiful thing. So what is it that she did? She poured out this expensive perfume and she broke it and she worshiped Jesus. The poor you will always have with you. You can help them at any time, but you will not always have me. Now I want you to switch your thinking to timing. Timing. Have you ever wanted to do something for somebody, you felt impressed to do something for someone, and then you got distracted, got busy, and you failed to do it in the right timing, and then the opportunity was no longer there? Your intentions were good. I'm not faulting you. But notice Mary did something and the timing was critical. Let's look at it. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. She notice the word beforehand. She poured this perfume on his body in preparation for his burial, and she did it beforehand. She did it before he rose from the dead. She did it and she succeeded because she made it a priority in her life. And it says in verse 9, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. How many have heard this passage preached on before? I'm sure I'm just doing a basic job of covering this, but you've heard it many times, right? How many times has this scripture been preached before? For 2,000 years ago, the story of what Mary did for Jesus has been told around the globe, time and time and time. Literally hundreds of thousands of times this story has been preached. And it has inspired others to a new level of devotion to our Lord. Do you think what she did on that day when she broke the alabaster jar and poured the perfume on the body of Jesus, on the head of Jesus, on the feet of Jesus, how many know that it was worth it? I say it was at that time. There were those that harshly rebuked her and said, why are you spending such a costly amount of perfume? Why are you breaking your mother's alabaster jar? She knew it was worth it. It's worth it. So what is the significance of this word beforehand? Listen to me. You got your ears on? I'm not preaching long today. There was something represented by this pouring out of the anointment, which Mary had to do beforehand, or she would have no later opportunity to do it. Several days later, after Mary broke the jar and poured the ointment on Jesus' head, there were some women who went to the tomb early in the morning, thinking we'll get there early. We'll get there at the right time, and we will anoint the body, the dead body of Jesus, in customary fashion. And they were too late. Were they successful? No. Now, if there's anything I want to be successful at, I would want to be successful at doing something for Jesus. You know, it's okay if I'm late to the dentist. I didn't really want to go anyway. There's a lot of things that I do that, you know, hey, if I've got jury duty and I show up late and they tell me, well, we didn't even take you anyway, I'm like, okay, good, I failed at jury duty. But I don't want to fail when it comes to my Lord. I want him to stand someday before me and put a crown on my head and say, thank you, well done, good and faithful servant. You're saying, Pastor, you ought to have surgery every Friday. Oh, hallelujah. Had a little extra time to think about this one. Oh, there was only one soul who succeeded in anointing the Lord. It was Mary. She did it beforehand. The others weren't able to do it because he had risen. Now, I want to suggest to you today, the word beforehand is a very important word. What does it represent? It represents the timing of our devotion to the Lord. Because listen to me, I believe, and here's the whole point of this whole sermon, I believe that in the coming age to come, we will all love him when we see him for who he is. We will all bow down and honor the name of Jesus Christ. Some will do it in judgment. Others will do it in praise and glory and in perspective of their salvation that is coming to pass. But on that day, when we see him in all of his glory and we hail him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it will be a glorious day. But it will be more blessed for those who have in this life beforehand have poured out their lives already unto him. If you have anointed him in your own heart and in your own spirit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and poured out your life unto him, on that day it will be glorious, but it will be even more blessed if you know that you did it beforehand. Do you feel that? I don't know. You know, on that day, we will be more blessed if we've done it now rather than waiting till then. And this whole thing begs a question. Listen to the question. Whether you come to church every single Sunday or maybe once a month or you haven't been here for a long time or this is your first time, the Lord is asking you this question. What are you doing now to give yourself in devotion to Christ? Have your eyes been open to see the preciousness of the one who gave his life for you? Have our eyes been open to see the glory and the majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And here's the question. If we see him as being great, majestic, precious, more valuable to us than anything else, then we will give everything to him. We will put him first above all things. And even if it isn't much, even if we don't give him much because we don't think we have much to give, whatever we give him, we will not see it as a waste. Because we see him as precious. Right? When he is precious to us, nothing will be too good. Nothing too costly for him. Everything we have, our dearest, our most precious treasure, we shall pour out upon him, and we shall not count it as shame to do so. Now notice verse 8. I love this. Simple story, isn't it? but a profound message of devotion. Look at verse 8. She did what she could. Read it with me. She did what she could. What does it mean that she did what she could? She gave what she had. She did not give what someone else had. She gave what she had. It means that she gave her all. She held nothing back for a future day. She lavished it on him. Yet on the resurrection morning, she had no reason to regret her extravagance. And can I tell you, if you give it all to Jesus on this day and serve him in this life with all that you have on that day in glory, when you see him for what he is and for who he is, and you see him in all of his glory, you will have no regrets. I say live with no regret. If you hold back on this day, perhaps on that day, when you see him for who he really is, you see him in all of his majesty, all of his greatness, all of his glory, there'll be a bit of regret because you were frazzled with all the things of life and failed to see Jesus for who he is. It's a powerful message for us today. See, for Mary, she had something in view. She could see prophetically that Christ was going to die. We're in the same position. We're looking back at the cross and the resurrection. But listen to me. There's an event coming in the future. It's the crowning of our Lord. When before all the world, Jesus will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's in view of his crowning that I hail him as King, as Lord, as God, as leader of my life. And I honor him now and give all to him. And the day will come when I will see him for all he is, and there'll be no regret. What will it cost you now? Whatever it costs you. I kind of like that. Feel a little taller. Feel like 6'4". I've never felt 6'4 before. Man, they sure have an advantage on me. Not anymore. Oh, whatever God is asking of us, it will cost you something. He's looking for a people who will give him everything. But in light of all that he's done for us and all that we have coming for us in the future, whatever it is that I give to him pales in comparison to what he has for me. Hallelujah. Let's pray.